appreciate our college career class and many of them back for the Christmas break. It's good to see those spaces back, and some from California, some from Florida, I don't know where else, and of course some here who were smart and stayed in Texas. Plenty of good schools in Texas. But anyway, so enjoyed that. I'm glad I know there's nothing can compare to God. He is so big, so big. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Today, a last message for the year on our theme. As tonight we are going to, instead of me preaching tonight, we're going to do the walk through Bethlehem tonight. We had to cancel last night because of the rain, and so we are just going to meet next door at 6 o'clock. We'll meet over there. We'll have a short interlude service with music, of course, with our hymns, and take an offering because that's a Baptist thing. And, amen? Going to take an offering tonight? Amen? Some of y'all, yeah? And you say, preacher, why do you push that so much on Sunday? Well, we have lots of workers in other places this morning who need an opportunity to give their offerings and tithe, and usually they do it on Sunday night. So that's my it's a running joke around here. The preacher has an offering every time. Anyway, preacher always gets the brunt of the jokes about giving. That's fine. And then tonight, so at 6, we'll meet over there, sing, have a short interlude service. Probably begin doing the tours around 10 minutes after. And they'll be singing. I think the Heritage Strings, are y'all singing? You're going to sing. They'll be over there singing, and there'll be coffee and hot chocolate and that apple cider stuff. I love that stuff. I could just drink it from the jug. And I tell you, Friday night I was so impressed with the walk through Bethlehem. We had about 350 people walk through it on Friday night, and did a great job, Brother Wiggins and the crew and everyone else, and such a great job, Miss Abby. And so we didn't want to, in canceling it last night, we wanted to take that opportunity tonight. In hindsight, we should have done it tonight anyway, so that most of you could see it. And so I want to encourage you to be back tonight for that. So this morning, again, the last message of the year. We will preach on this subject again at some point. But the last message of this year on the theme, Renewed. So let's look with me again at, look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. We've covered the rest of the chapter in two previous messages. So the title of the message tonight is Renewed Ministry number 3, the third message on this particular chapter. Verse 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet their inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, bless this reading, bless the word. We pray again this morning that we would remember you are there, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you have not left us comfortless. You've given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to fulfill this great ministry. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 40 and keep your place there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But Isaiah chapter 40, a couple months ago, we preached on Isaiah 40. We used this particular verse as a second theme verse. So I want to remind you of this as well in Isaiah chapter 40. Look with me in verse 27. If you remember the context, and I know some of you would not have been here, but the context is Isaiah is speaking to the nation of Israel who are in captivity in Babylon. He's speaking to them. And he is saying to them, hey, I still care for you. Even though you've gone off into captivity, even though you're not in Israel anymore, you've been carried away. You've been carried away because of your sins. He tells them that. But I care for you. So look there with me. Verse 27 says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from the Lord?" He says, why are you saying that I don't see you? Why are you saying, God is saying to them, why are you saying that I don't care, that I'm not there? That he says, why are you saying that your circumstance is past me giving you freedom and delivering you? Why are you saying that? Why are you saying that this particular trial, this particular circumstance is too big for me? Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He said, hey, just a reminder, I'm God. I'm bigger than anything. I don't get tired. I'm here. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them which have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So in the first 11 verses, God reminds them that he does care, and that he will deliver them, that he will bring them out of Babylon. And we know that he does. That he does. Eventually, after 70 years of them being in captivity, he delivers them out and brings them back to Jerusalem. He said, I'll make the path straight. I'll clear the path for you guys to be able to come back and to the homeland and rebuild Jerusalem. He said, I do care. And so there was a renewed care from God for his people. And then in verses 12 through 26, he reminds them that he's powerful enough to deliver them. That's kind of their thought, was that, well, this circumstance that I'm in is too big for God. Israel was thinking that. That's what verse we just read it a moment ago. That's what verse 27 is basically saying. That our circumstance is too big. By the way, no circumstance is too big for God. God is able to deliver you out of that circumstance, out of that trial, and God will take you through those circumstances and through those trials. Nothing's too big for God. Our problem is we have a wrong view of God. We have a tendency to make the God of our own making and our own likeness. And we think about God being a, 45-year-old male, But we do. We have a tendency to do that. We put him in a box. And God is, as the choir sang a moment ago, God is so much bigger than anything you can think of. And so he goes through and describes for them in verses 12 through 26, he says to them, God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Verse 13 says he is all-knowing. Verses 14 and 15, he says, I'm bigger than the nations around you. I'm bigger than Babylon. I'm bigger than Assyria. I'm bigger than all these nations around you. He says, I'm bigger than the little G-O-Ds. I'm bigger than the idols that they set up upon their platforms and these idols that they worship. I'm bigger than the idols of silver and the idols of wood. He goes on to say in verses 21, I'm bigger than the kings and the princess. I'm bigger than the king of Babylon. I'm bigger than Nebuchadnezzar. I'm bigger than Cyrus, the Medo-Persian king. I'm bigger than all the kings of all the world. He said, he goes on to say, I'm bigger than the heavens. He said, I created all things. Verses 25, 26. I created all things. In fact, he says, I have the stars numbered. Think about it. The stars are limitless. They're infinite. They never, and God has them numbered and knows their names. That's amazing. You say, well, how? I don't compute, preacher. I don't understand. If something's eternal, if something's forever, if the stars are forever and there's just keep on going, how can God know? Well, he's an eternal being. I don't understand it. I just take it for a fact. It's in the book. It's what the Bible says. So God says to the children of Israel in captivity, I care. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to bring you back into the land that's promised to you. I'm going to make the path straight. I care. And I'm big enough, he says, I'm big enough to fulfill my promise. I'm big enough and I'm strong enough to defeat any kings. I'm big enough, I'm strong enough, I'm omnipotent, I'm all powerful to defeat any nations and any little G-O-Ds, which are not gods at all, the Bible says. I'm big enough to fulfill the promises. Aren't you glad God's big enough to fulfill his promises? He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. God's big enough to keep that promise. God promised to supply all your needs. That means physically and emotionally, relationally, mentally. He's promised to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad? And aren't you? It is an awesome thought that God is big enough to keep his promises. And that God always keeps his promises. always. I haven't always kept my promises, but God always keeps His. And then the last thing we see here in Isaiah is the renewed strength. The renewed strength of God. He says, basically, the message is here, when you do get tired, when you do get weary, that God will renew your strength. He will help you. He'll help you. He'll help those who put their hope in Him. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord. What does that mean, wait there? Does that mean sit in a chair and wait on Him? No, it means those who wait or put their hope in Him. Those who believe and put their faith in Him, God will renew their strength. I hope there's a day in your life when you can look back and there's a day that you can say, I accepted Christ as my Savior. That's the greatest day of anyone's life. It happened when I was 6 years old, and I'm so thankful that my dad and mom raised me in church and had the opportunity to kneel in my pastor's office and accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And there, God gave me strength. But I'm thankful that the strength that was given to me at salvation is available to me over and over and over again. That it can be renewed over and over. Not salvation is instantaneous and I'm on my way to heaven, but I'm talking about living this life. I'm talking about sanctification and the process whereby we become more like Jesus. And the process of this life, that I can have strength that's outside of myself and beyond my circumstances, but I can gain and have strength through the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who put their faith in Him. Alexander McLaren said this. He said, the life of nature dies by living, but the life of grace lives by living. Let me say that again. The life of nature dies by living. Our outward man perisheth. Nature dies. But the inward man, the life of grace, lives by living. As I live this life by grace, the inward man is renewed day by day. That's Proverbs 4:18. The longer you follow Christ, the longer you follow Jesus, the stronger you will grow. And you can soar with eagles, and you can run, and you can walk. You can make it through the big stuff. You can make it through the trials and the testings of this life. You can make it through the daily grind. And I think that's the worst one. It's just that daily grind over and over and over again. That's why the Bible refers to the Christian life a lot as a walk, as we walk daily. So, in Isaiah, we're talking about exchanging our power for His power. It's like, again, having a big brother. I'm thankful for my big brother, whom actually is my little brother. He's 4 years older than me, but he's little. He's littler than me. So at some point, at 16, I became bigger than him, and so I no longer needed my big brother to handle my problems. He wasn't very good at it anyway. But he was my big brother, and I was glad to have a big brother who, you know, on the bus on the way to school, somebody to look out for me. If he wasn't beating me up, which that happened a lot, then he was defending me, his little brother, and I appreciate it. I'm so glad I have a big brother. You say, well, that's you're taking Jesus down a notch or two. No, Jesus says that we are joint heirs with Him. The Bible says we are sons of God. I'm thankful that my big brother is Jesus Christ, and that He is the omnipotent God, all-powerful, all-knowing, and He has promised that He would be there for me. He's promised that He would strengthen me. And if He promises it, He will fulfill it. He will fulfill it. So we come to our passage this morning. As we look at there again at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Paul says, hey, church at Corinth, we have this ministry. I want to remind you the audience whom Paul is speaking to in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Please get this now. I haven't really emphasized this much the last 2 weeks. Paul is speaking to the congregation in Corinth. He is speaking to the congregation. He is speaking to the laity of the congregation there of Corinth. So when you think about these messages the last couple of weeks, don't think, well, preacher, that's all fine and dandy for a bunch of preachers or a bunch of ministers, but I'm just a layperson. I'm just part of the congregation. That's not who this was written. It wasn't written to ministers. You listening? Wasn't written to pastors. It was written to all Christians. It was written to you. It was written to me. It was written to Christians. Now, again, the audience is important in this. As he challenges them and says, hey, we have this ministry. What ministry is he speaking of? Well, he's speaking of New Testament versus the Old Testament. He said, we have it better than the Old Testament saints. We have it better than the Old Testament covenant. We have it better than the Old Testament contract. We have it better than the Old Testament economy. We have a New Testament ministry. He says, we have received mercy. God is so merciful in giving us this New Testament ministry. Again, think about it. Old Testament ministry, Old Testament covenant, the temple. If you were living in the Old Testament, you would have had to have brought, the dad would have had brought a lamb this morning or a turtle dove or something to that effect, a dove, and they would have had to have been sacrificed to help and to sacrifice for your sins. I mean, it was a bloody mess, right? It was a lot of liturgy and a lot of pomp and circumstance. Old Testament ministry. New Testament ministry. The church. Don't you like this a lot better? Come to church and get yelled at by the preacher? It's awesome. It's awesome. No, but it's so much better. We live today in a ministry and in an economy of grace. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful that we could come together and worship the Lord together. Again, Old Testament economy, Old Testament ministry, priests. Priests, if you were to worship God, you had to come to the temple and go through a priest to make the sacrifice. In order to communicate with God, you had to come to the temple, get with a priest in order to communicate with God. But the Bible says in the New Testament economy, the New Testament ministry, that we are priests. I no longer have to go to some man in order to communicate with God. I can come, the Bible says, now this is the Bible, not me. The Bible says we can come boldly before the throne of grace in our time of need. I don't need a priest. I don't have to come to the pastor's office and lay out my sins before him. Listen, you have to confess to me. You could go directly to the Father. He says, if you will confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Listen, you don't have to come to me to communicate with God or come to some man to communicate with God. Again, you can go to God with your need. You can go to God with your praise. You can go to God with asking for wisdom or whatever the case is. I'm so thankful for that New Testament ministry. And so Paul's just saying, listen, we have it far better. The Old Testament economy, the law, which never saved anyone. He says it was death. The law brought death. You know, man, if you committed adultery, you were put to death. You know, if you were a rebellious kid and rebelled against your parents, the law says you were to be put to death. I mean, the law was brought death. It never brought life. It couldn't. Only Jesus could bring life. The law was our schoolmaster, Galatians tells us, Paul tells us, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us, to teach us that we need Christ. We need the Lord. The law, the Old Testament versus the New Testament. We have this ministry. And because we've been given this ministry, we shouldn't quit. And he goes on to say, hey, our motives need to be right. Verse 2, and he says, there's an enemy there. There is an enemy. Can I remind you that Satan is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour? The Lord hates you. If you're saved this morning, I'm sorry, that's terrible. The Satan hates you. That was really bad. Sometimes it just comes out. Do not splice that and put it on some video. That would be terrible. One of our previous workers up there loved to take all my things where I messed up and put them all together and keep them in the file. So don't do that one. Can we just go ahead and erase this message? And people watching on the internet, you're welcome. I'll excuse it with the medicine I'm on. I'm trying not to cough up here. In fact, on that note, so I'll use an excuse. I'll go ahead and put another lozenge in my mouth. You wouldn't blame a sick person, would you? For blaspheming the Lord this morning. That's terrible. All right, pause. Start over. Summary of the chapter. This ministry, the New Testament ministry, this New Testament gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say our motives need to be right. He says there, he talks about its message. The message is that of Jesus Christ. By the way, again, I had this conversation with a family this week. A lot of churches have gotten away from the message. The message is should not be man-centered. It should be Christ-centered. It shouldn't be a lot of self-help motivational speaking. It should be about Jesus Christ and living for Him and walking in His steps and following the Savior. And if you'll do those things, you'll be fine. Motivation matters, the message. And then the messenger. He makes it very clear in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, the power may be of God and not of us, that we are the messenger." Again, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the church at Corinth. He's speaking to the congregation. He says, listen, we have this ministry. You have this ministry. Remember, your motive needs to be right. Remember that there is an enemy. Satan is the enemy, and he doesn't like the message. The message is that of Jesus Christ, that he lived, that he died, he rose again from the dead. The message of Jesus Christ. The messenger is us. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for ministers. We are messengers. We are messengers of the good news of salvation. We are messengers of this New Testament ministry. And then verses 8 through 12 is the cost. He says, we are troubled, verse 8, on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He's saying, hey, if you are going to be a messenger, it's going to cost something. Can I remind you this morning that if you live for Jesus, it's going to cost you something. If you are living daily as Christ would have you to live, if you are living a holy life, it is going to cost you something. The world hates that as a whole. The world hates when we live a godly life and push that. But we are to live a godly life. We are to live a testimony in front that's going to cost you something. And then it takes faith. Verses 13 and 14 and 15, it takes faith. Faith in Him. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in His resurrection. Listen, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And then faith that He's coming again. And then we come down to today's message. And that is a message of daily renewal. That this ministry requires a daily renewal. It requires an infusion of energy outside of ours. I went back and reviewed for you Isaiah 40 because it goes along with the message. And that is, we need the strength of the Lord Jesus. If we are to fulfill this ministry, and I'll put it even down a little further. If we are to fulfill this life as Christians, if we are to walk daily with the Lord, it's going to require energy that's outside of ourselves, a daily renewal. Let's look at verse 16. It says, "For which cause we faint not." Can I tell you this morning, there is a cause. For which cause we faint not. So what is the cause? If we're not going to faint, If we're not going to faint, then why are we not fainting? Because there's a cause. If we're not going to quit, then why are we not quitting? Because there's a cause. There's a cause for us not to quit. And that cause is this New Testament ministry. The cause is the good news of salvation found in Jesus Christ. The cause. Listen, God cares for you this morning. God loves you. In fact, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you this morning. I'm so thankful that God loves me, that we serve a personal God. Yes, He's transcendent. Yes, He's wholly other, as the choir sang this morning. He's so big and so, but He cares for us. He's a personal God, a personal God. There is a cause. There's a cause. It's the New Testament ministry. The cause to share the light to a lost and dying world. The cause to share the light to a world that's in darkness, to share the light. I think about David. Y'all remember that, don't you? David and Goliath. Seven sons of Jesse. David being the youngest one. David was a shepherd. The Bible says that there was war between the Philistines and the Israelites, that they were in the valley there, in the valley of Elah. The valley is not more than probably six football fields. It's not as big as you think. I've been there. It's not as big as you think. We always get this ideal. There's the children of Israel's army on one side on this huge mountain, and there's the valley, and then on the other side of the mountain, a tall mountain, is the Philistine army. No, it's like two hills. And there's a small valley in between them. And the Philistine send out their giant, Goliath, and Goliath says to them, "Send me out a man." He wanted to send out a man to fight. And Goliath came out every day and asked the children of Israel to send out a man to fight against him. He said, "Listen, if you'll send out a man and if he beats me, then we'll surrender to you. But if I beat him, then y'all surrender to us." And he defied the armies of God. In other words, he came out and ridiculed them and made fun of them and, you know, called them a bunch of wimps and sissies. So David one day was told by his dad to go and take some food to his brothers who were in the battle. And so David shows up at the time, and Goliath comes out, and he hears Goliath make the statements, "Send me out a man," and so forth and so on. And David looks at those around him and says, "What's going on here?" And they explain to him what was going on. And David says, "I'll fight him. I'll fight him." And his brothers overhear it, and the brothers say, "Oh, David, quit being naughty, you know, quit." He's a teenager. He was a teenager fighting an almost 10-foot giant. That's ridiculous. "David, be quiet." I could just see him doing it. I could see my older brother doing it. "Be quiet. Sit down. That's not your place. You're just being naughty. You're just trying to stir." You know. David said to them, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Why would we allow this man to defy?" The words are, "Why would we allow this man to defy the armies of the living God? Why are we allowing this Philistine to defy the armies of the living God?" And you know the story. David goes before Saul, and so there's David in the valley. And David fights Goliath and defeats him. He said to Goliath, "I don't come to you with sword and so forth. I come to you in the name of the Lord." It wasn't David who defeated Goliath on the battlefield that day. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God. And David understood that. But he said, "Is there not a cause? What is this cause?" David was thinking about. He said, "Why would we allow this man to defy the armies of the living God? Why would we allow this man to denigrate the name of the God, our God, the living God?" He said, "Why would we allow the armies of the Philistines to make us feel like God doesn't care? Why would we allow the armies of the Philistines to think that our God is small? Why would we allow our God, our the Philistines, to make us think that our God isn't strong? Is there not a cause? God does care. God is big. Certainly bigger than any Philistine's gods. And God is strong. Strong in power. And David defeated Goliath in the name of the Lord. There was a cause. And that cause was the honor and name of God. Can I tell you this morning, there's a cause. And because of that cause, us don't quit. Don't faint. People need the Lord this morning. There's a lost and dying world. There's many, many, many hundreds of millions of billions of people who are dying and going to hell. There's a cause. Amen. They need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Their souls at stake. We need to be telling the good news that Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, that He lived a perfect and sinless life for 33 and a half years, and yet He went and He died on the cross for us that we might have our sins forgiven. He died for our sins. He was our substitute. He died in my place. He took the wrath of God for me that I might have my sins forgiven and that I might have a home in heaven, that I might escape hell and have a home in heaven. There is a cause. We all get tired, the verse says, "For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish." We all get tired. We all get tired in the work. We all get tired in the way. I like what somebody has said. We can get tired in the way, but we should never get tired of the way. Right? We can get tired in the way, We can get tired in the way, but we should never get tired of the way. Listen, we all get tired. It's a universal human experience, isn't it? Some of you are going to wake up in the morning for the first day of work, and you're going to be tired before you even get started. We get tired. We are all physically decaying. We don't like to think about it, but the Bible says it's appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're all headed that way. I will never forget, I was pastoring my first church. I was 20 years old, and the church auditorium wasn't but about 30 foot wide by 40 feet long, held about 75. Sorry. And everybody good? I hate that. Last Sunday I made it through without coughing. This Sunday I'm not going to. I don't feel bad. I just have the cough and it's just irritating. So that little congregation, that little building, I'm preaching one day and I noticed I couldn't, the figures in the back, I couldn't see them very well. And we went on a few more Sundays. At night I started seeing double signs and stuff like that. So wife finally convinced me to go to the eye doctor, and I had to get glasses. It was an amazing thing. I guess my sight had been going for a long time, because when I got my glasses, it was like, I can see leaves now on trees. Trees have leaves on them. I can remember just taking my, some of y'all may have experienced this if you've got glasses when you were an adult. That's amazing. And I've had the surgery since then. I'm so thankful for that. It's what an amazing thing. But on my eyes, whatever it's called. But my eyes were decaying. My hair's falling out. Muscles. You know, we don't have the endurance that we used to. And I could go on and on and on. We know that we all physically decay. We all physically, aches and pains. Who doesn't wake up with, if you're older, who doesn't wake up with aches and pains, right? Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This is speaking about our spirit and our soul. By the way, the Bible says that the soul and the spirit never die. Soul and the spirit never die. When your physical body gives up the ghost, when it dies, the soul and the spirit will live eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. The Bible makes that very clear. The soul and the spirit never die. So, when it speaks of this renewal of a strength, it's speaking of that strength being renewed of the inward man, of the soul and the spirit being renewed. That word renewed just simply means to make anew, to make new again. I'm thankful my sins can be forgiven every day. I'm thankful that I can start fresh every day. I don't have to wait till January 1st. I can start fresh every day. The inward man is renewed day by day, can be renewed every day, can be made fresh every day, can start over every day. You say, well, I failed today. You can start over anytime you go to the Lord. Start over. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that Christianity is a daily process. The Bible says there in the New Testament several times, it says, take up thy cross daily and follow me. We always kind of get this ideal that Christianity is a weekly or monthly or yearly. No, it's daily. It's daily. Take up thy cross daily and follow me. Well, what do you mean by this? Well, this renewal has to do with our personal walk with Jesus. It really comes down to this. I know that nearly every doctrine, every teaching comes down to this. The basics. The basics of Christianity is this. That Jesus Christ desires a personal relationship with you. That we were created for personal fellowship with Him. Amen. That's what we were created for. And so He desires that. In order for us to have this daily renewal, it has to do with us having that daily walk with the Lord. It has to do with that personal relationship with Jesus. So it really comes down to the basics. Read your Bible. You want daily renewal? Read your Bible every day. Take time in the morning before you go to work. Get up a little earlier and read your Bible. Number two, pray. Pray. Take time to pray. You say, well, preacher, it's a hectic morning. I got a couple of verses read. Well, pray on the way to work. When I lived the first, 7 years of the church's existence, I lived 35 to 40 minutes away, one way. I always did my prayer time on the way to the church building. It was convenient. You don't have to, you know, kneel down and, you know, by your bed to pray. You can, you know, God's concern is not the position of the body, it's the position of the heart. It's not about whether your body kneels or not. It's whether your heart is kneeling. And as we think about that new renewal, day by day, it's going to church. That renewal, it's going to church. It's about going to church. And again, part of that personal walk with the Lord and that daily walk with the Lord is going to church, being faithful to church. Dr. Lee Robertson, whom we inducted into our Heritage Hall of Faith, used to have the saying, three to thrive. Three to thrive. He said, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, three to thrive. You want to thrive as a Christian? You want to thrive as a follower of Jesus? Then come to church 3 days a week, not just Sunday morning. Encourage you in that. It's all about having that daily renewal. It's about giving. Giving. Giving of your tithe, giving of your offerings. It's about giving. It's about sharing. Sharing with others and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So those five things, the basics of Christianity, if you would, are read your Bible, pray, be faithful to church, give, and share. Somebody has called it the five-star Christian. Those are the very basics. Those five basics ought to be a part of your life. You want daily renewal? Make those five things. You want strength? You want strength for every day? You want strength for the daily grind? You want strength for when you lose a loved one or you lose a job? You want strength? Five things. And there's more to that. Certainly more to that. You can go on further from that. But those five things. Basics. So, preacher, that's just a simple message. Well, the Bible is our food, the Bible says. This is our milk. This is our water. This is our bread. This is our meat. This is our strong meat. The Bible refers many times to itself, and the apostles refer to it, and Jesus himself, as our bread of life. Listen, if you go without meals, you're not going to be strong. I know that's simple. Just simple stuff. If you don't eat, you won't have strength. Hello? Christian, this morning, if you don't eat, you won't be strong. You're going to have to take some meals. You're going to have to take some spiritual meals. You're going to have to feed that inward man. And the inward man lives and dies by this. And by the reading and the preaching of the Word of God. We need a daily renewal. Christianity, again, is a daily process. Most Christians are tired because they don't eat. Or certainly they're not eating balanced meals. Lastly, verse 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh far for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Love that description. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, lastly, the ministry is worth it. It's worth it. Our reward of heaven will be far outweigh the light affliction here. That's what it's saying. The reward of heaven will far outweigh the light affliction that we go through here on earth. Now, think about it for a minute. Paul says, light affliction, he's describing that when he's been beaten, shipwrecked, forsaken, stoned to death, left for dead, and yet he calls that a light affliction. By the way, he suffered the loss of all things. His family rejected him after he got saved. I mean, he lost his wealth. He lost his job. I mean, he lost everything that the world had to offer. But he says what? Those things were temporal. These things are eternal. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. And we need to keep looking up. And whatever life brings us here on earth, and whatever things we may face on this earth, are but a light affliction compared to what God has in store for us when we get to heaven. I know I sang it last week, but it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One look at His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. It'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. When we get tired, when we get tired, we must check on a few things in our life and do some remembering. We need to remember that God has given us this ministry in His mercy. Mercy means not getting what we deserve. That God gave us this ministry, and we need to check our motives from time. Sometimes we're tired because we're serving for the wrong reasons. Sometimes our motives are wrong. Sometimes our motives for even witnessing to somebody is wrong. We need to remember that there is an enemy there and that Satan hates us. And Satan's a roaring lion seeking may devour, and that he's simply an obstacle. He wants to do everything he can to get you to deviate from your ministry. Yes, it's your ministry. Paul is speaking to the congregation at Corinth. Your ministry. What is your ministry? Your ministry is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Your ministry is to share the New Testament ministry. Share it. And there's an obstacles out there. And listen, we need to remember the message. The message is Jesus Christ. But we'll talk to anybody about football. We'll talk to anybody about trucks, or we'll talk to anybody about makeup. I don't know what ladies talk about. Huh? We'll talk to anybody about someone else. We'll talk to anyone about, right? By the way, what comes out of your mouth is what you're excited about. What about the message of Jesus? What about sharing with your neighbor the message of Jesus? It's great to talk about yards and great to talk about whatever, family. But what about Jesus? Have you talked to your neighbor about Jesus? You're a minister. You have this ministry. You're to be telling others of the good news of salvation. And sometimes our message gets sidetracked. You are a minister. You are the messenger. That's what verse 7 says. You are the messenger. You have it in this earthen vessel so that God will get the credit and you won't. See, some people use the excuse, well, I'm not good at talking to others about Jesus. I'm not like you, preacher. I can't just... Well, see, that's a side issue. You just give the message. You're the messenger. God has chosen you to be a messenger. And He's chosen weak things to confound the wise so that He gets the credit and you don't. Amen. And then it's going to cost something. There's going to be some bumps in the road. The devil's going to be there to try to discourage you, and then just life as a whole, there are bumps in the road. Maybe there will be some ridicule, or maybe there will be some of this from others. But I'm just talking about life in general that sends curveballs after curveball your way. If you're going to serve the Lord, those things are going to come your way. But we put our faith in the Lord, knowing that He rose from the dead, and that one day He will raise us up and come again for us. All right, so think about this for a moment. All of those things I've just said. And then He stops and says, "For which cause we faint not." There is a cause. The message, the messenger, the cost, the faith, there is a cause. And though the outward man perish, the inward man will be renewed day by day. After all the distractions in this sermon, I don't want you to miss this. If you are fulfilling the ministry, and you have fulfilled the ministry, you are going to get tired. That's what this is saying. You are going to get tired. Life makes us tired. We all need renewal. We don't need renewal just the first part of August when the revival speaker comes in, or in March when Brother Stewart comes in and preaches the Bible conference. We don't just need renewal in those times. We need renewal every day. Do you see how he kind of pauses? He says, for this cause, for the New Testament ministry's cause, we don't quit. We can't quit. There are souls at stake. People are dying and go to hell. They need Jesus. We need to share the good news. And in order to do that, we must understand that we're going to get tired. But God will strengthen you. But God will give you the strength you need. He will strengthen you. God cares for you. God's big enough to give you strength. He will strengthen you if you'll go to Him and ask. Some of you are tired this morning. Some of you are tired in the way, not tired of the way, but tired in the way. Some of you have that syndrome of, I used to do this for the Lord, and I used to do that for the Lord. I used to come to every service. I used to come out soul winning. I used to teach a class. I used to be teaching children's church. I used to teach a master club. I used to do these things. And I just got tired, preacher. I got tired. We need a renewal. Don't you see that? He says, we have this ministry. Here's the ministry, the message, and the cost and everything. And then at the very end, he says, hey, you're going to get tired in this way. You're going to get tired of the ministry. But don't quit. Don't faint. Don't give up. Because you can have renewed strength. And what I'm asking you this morning is, have you went to the Lord for renewed strength? Have you gone to the Lord and come to Him and said, Lord, I'm tired, and God, will you strengthen me? Because those that wait upon the Lord, those who put their hope in the Lord, those who put their faith in the Lord, He will renew your strength. Amen. Just come to Him. Say, Lord, I need strength this morning. I've gotten tired in the way. And I've quit a few times. Don't quit. Don't quit. Here we are at the end of the year, and this has been our theme all year. I didn't preach on much of the theme the first of the year. We preached on it a few times, but since August, we preached on it a lot. Because in my own life, I needed this theme. And God's done a great work in my life in the last 5-6 months. And can I tell you, if He hasn't touched your heart, then why hasn't He? If there hasn't been some moving in your heart, I'm talking about our congregation, I'm talking about our people, I'm talking about our family and friends here. Have you seen renewal in your life? We need faith. It's worth it, guys. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus, because there's a cause. David says, is there not a cause? You're letting this guy defy the armies of the living God? You're letting him denigrate our God? Listen, our God does care. Our God is, He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And He is strong. And He will give you strength. As He gave David strength to defeat the giant Goliath, He'll give you strength to defeat whatever's going on in your life. And I don't know what's going on in your life. I can't come to every one of you and say, hey, what's going on? But God knows. And whatever you are facing now, God will give you the strength to overcome that. Whatever giant you're facing, God will give you the strength to overcome it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your love. And we thank You for this passage of Scripture that reminds us that we have an important ministry. God, help us to fulfill that ministry in our own lives, whether it be with our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family, or with our Sunday school class, or our Master Clubs class, or our children's choir, whatever it may be. God, help us to fulfill that ministry. God, we need that renewed strength. And maybe there's some here this morning, God, that just need to come forward and just say, Lord, I need Your strength. Will You strengthen me? And Lord, we thank You that You will. And God, if there be someone here today who does not know You as Savior, I pray they might get saved today, they might walk the aisle and accept You as Savior. God, we thank You that You're a God who cares and a God who is strong and a God who will give strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 350.